Welcome to the Humans in AI podcast, powered by AI Frontier Network. I'm your host, Flor Laorga. Each episode, we dive into the human story shaping artificial intelligence through the journeys of entrepreneurs, builders, and leaders. We explore the insights, challenges, and visions for the future of AI and humanity. Let's uncover the human side of AI together. Mm-hmm. Hi, Leo. Nice to meet you. Thank you very much for joining into Humans in AI podcast. I appreciate a lot that you were able to make it. I know you're a busy guy. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Okay. So I would like to understand a little bit your journey, because I saw that you studied software computer science, right? But then you mostly done entrepreneurship and build your own companies and things. So I would like to understand what was the drive, motivation, a little bit of that, if you can share it.
Sure, absolutely. So funnily enough, I was brought up in a very traditional way in terms of how my career was supposed to go. My parents taught me to study as much as I can and then go find the steady job and stay at that job for as many years as possible, which is the opposite of what I did, because I only graduated my bachelor degree and never continued my academic education. And then instead of finding a steady job, I started being an entrepreneur, and I'm on my third company right now. My parents are still proud of me, even though it's opposite to everything they believe in. But yeah, I think it was around when I was 21, I think. This is when I started realizing that maybe this is not the only path. And this is when I started learning more. I was surrounded by people who started their own companies, who went to join other startup companies. So I had a great positive example. And then I decided that this is what I want to do myself. And maybe not right away. Maybe I realized that I had to learn a thing or two before I do that about how the world works. But then I took about 3 years to do that. And when I was 27, this is when I started my first.
So do you start your first company with 27?
Yeah.
Wow. Impressive. Suddenly how you scale the whole thing. My God. You build scale like many startups. You say that right now you are going through the third one, right? Which I guess that's a Verax AI. That's the third one that you're talking about. But before you, or also there's something I found very impressive, that you build Cloud Endure, right? That's been acquired by Amazon. So how was that? How it happened?
It was an interesting story, because there was a complicated relationship between Cloud Endure and AWS before the acquisition, for two reasons. On the one hand, we had very good partnership. AWS brought a lot of leads to us, and we really helped these leads, and we had many mutual success stories. On the other hand, 3 years before the acquisition, AWS launched a competing service that was a head-to-head competition with Cloud Endure. And unlike Cloud Endure, that service was free for its users. So it was a complicated situation, and we lived in the shadow of that service, but still we prospered because we managed to make our product work well, solve our customers' pain very well on both the product side and on the technology side, while the competing service of AWS managed to do it much less. And so after 3 years of trying to grow their service and seeing that the opportunities that they were bringing, the prospects decided to choose Cloud Endure, even though it was quite expensive and not their own native free service. This is when AWS reached the conclusion that maybe the best thing for them is to acquire Cloud Endure and to use that internally. And on a side note, we managed to deprecate that competing service about 2 years into the acquisition, and to stay the only AWS service that did cloud migration.
Through all that challenge, what was the main lesson that you've learned during that journey? It sounds very challenging and tough moment.
So I think that's one big lesson that you are learning for being an entrepreneur, and it's very cliche, but I would still mention it, that it's all about the people. Everything starting from who your co-founders are, who your employees are, who your partners are, who your acquirers are, not on the company level, but on the people level, who that specific person is from the acquirer's M&A team or from the partnership team, and what kind of relationship you have with them. And so from my perspective, everything around being an entrepreneur is first and foremost around relationships you're having with your employees, with your customers, with your investors, with everyone. And naturally, you still have to execute on all the other levels. You still have to have an amazing product. You need to have great go-to-market organization. But having amazing relationships can help you quite a lot overcoming the mistakes you make. And if you don't have these great relationships, then every single mistake you make can be your last.
Thanks. I love this perspective of entrepreneurship. We are actually in the humans in AI, so I kind of love it. But yeah, so I would like to understand as well, why do you have so much experience and focus on trust and safety in AI?
I think that the one thing that stays constant with me in all of the companies that I started is solving these deep and hard enterprise challenges. And I think that for enterprises, more than for smaller companies, and likely also more than for end users, trust is super, super important, because the implications of something not going well for a large enterprise may be very severe. Sometimes these implications are financial, but sometimes they are reputational, sometimes they are legal. There are a lot of different things that could go wrong. They are under the spotlight, and many of them are regulated. Even like in Europe, every single company has to follow GDPR, for example, whether you're regulated or not. And you cannot really be certain that nothing bad happens only by using legal tools or product tools, etc. A lot of that has to include a trust component. Without being able to trust tools, people, companies, processes, you cannot really move forward. You have to trust. And AI challenges this ability to trust quite a lot. Because it's so unpredictable, because it's so complex, the ability of an enterprise to trust AI enough to take it into its important workflows, it's something that I think without this ability, AI adoption is not going to grow at all.
So talking about trust and AI, like everybody talks about trust and responsibility in AI, right? So how do you yourself apply AI, responsible AI?
So I think that applying responsible AI is first and foremost about prioritization, because to do that, you need to put a lot of effort. You need to do a lot of testing. You need to add a lot of guardrails. There's a lot of work, time, and money involved into using AI responsibly. There are many best practices that you could apply. If someone wanted to use AI responsibly, there's a lot of things that is already available today to do that, but they come with implications. Again, mostly time, money, and effort. And I think the number one thing that needs to be done to use AI responsibly is to prioritize that responsibility over other things. That you have to put your money into this. This means that you have less money in your budget to do other things. But if you prioritize using AI responsibly higher than most other things, then you could do that. And I think the situations where AI is not being used responsibly or not being developed responsibly is not because people don't know how to do it, but because they decide to prioritize that lower than other things like time to market, like growth and things like that. And if you prioritize those above and using AI responsibly, this is when AI starts including many more risks that are much bigger.
As a founder and CEO of Verax AI, I guess that you were one of the main ones who created the idea and the mission right behind. But was there a specific moment or a turning point that you said it has to be, this is the vision, this is the mission, and this is the goal for this company?
Interestingly enough, it was while rewatching the movie Terminator. Terminator, I think, is one of these movies that really demonstrates what may happen if AI is not being used responsibly. And I think today we are seeing robots powered by AI already in development. So this, when Terminator came out, it was a very far future that it described. But today, with the very fast advancements of both robotics and AI, suddenly this future is not that far away. And when I rewatched Terminator, having the context of modern AI development, then I said, okay, you know what? This could actually happen if someone doesn't do anything about it. And that won't happen 300 years from now. It can happen 20 years from now. And this was a bit simplistic thought, but this was the initial thought that evolving and changing at the end of the day gave us the idea to create Verax to help companies build and use AI in a way that would prevent these very fundamental risks, like uprising of the machines, but also the smaller day-to-day risks that Verax is protecting from.
That's a very interesting story through a movie. That's very inspiring. Trey, sometimes I believe that movies really inspire our reality.
Yeah.
Talking about ethical AI, there's a lot of gray areas, right? Because what is ethical? It's a very gray area. So when you're making a decision, mostly related with the ethics in AI, so what are the principles you follow?
I think that what we believe is that AI, even today's AI, I'm not talking about AI 5 years from now, cannot be predicted. I think this is one of the main differences between modern AI and all the types of software that came before it, both traditional ML and deterministic algorithms. And this lack of ability to predict it means that trying to add ways to use AI responsibly only during the development phase, which means trying to predict how that AI is going to behave in production and how it's going to be used, is not enough. And so we are big believers in monitoring AI while it's running already in production, while it's doing its thing. And instead of in addition to trying to prevent bad things or unresponsible things or immoral things that the AI would do, you would also need to accept that no matter how well you're trying to predict it, it may still happen and would most likely happen. And for these situations, you need to be able to catch it in production and stop it before it could cause any damage. So this combination of trying to add things during development to prevent AI from manifesting risks, with the ability to catch the risks that we couldn't catch and stop them before they can do any damage, this, in our opinion, is the perfect combination to use AI responsibly.
Great. So From your perspective, as a person who really believed in the relationships between humans, what are some of the human risks that most of the companies and enterprises overlook when they decide to adopt or apply AI?
So, like any tool, AI is as good as the humans who are using it. And today, many workflows originate with a human. Yes, we are looking at some futuristic workflows, agentic AI, where many of the flows will be triggered by AI itself and then go through processes. But today, the reality is that most workflows are triggered by a human at the beginning. And that human may use AI very differently. And I think that in addition to everything that the builders of the AI or the monitoring tools or everything that Verax is doing, in addition to this, the people who use AI should always remember about dangers of AI, about the risks of AI, and about using it responsibly as end users, both in regards to what they're trying to do with AI, but also in regard to how they analyze the results that they see coming from AI. In both situations, there are significant risks. How they're using AI, AI could be used for many different purposes. If you're trying to use AI for an ethically challenging purpose, chances are that with enough effort, you will be able to force it to do that, and it will work. And then the same on the opposite direction, if AI returns information that may be offensive, that may be incorrect, that may be misleading, again, as a human, it's the human's responsibility to treat that with a bit of skepticism and to make sure that nothing that originates in AI is taken as obviously correct and is treated as.
So talking about kind of mistakes of AI, what is your thoughts about AI hallucinations?
So I believe that AI hallucinations is just, it's a feature. It's not a bug, like they say in engineering. It is a part of what makes AI, modern AI, so great. Modern AI needs to be creative. And part of that creativity is hallucinations. And interestingly enough, when you look at the evolution of models, and since ChatGPT entered our lives, we've seen many models created by many companies and more and more advanced models. When you look at how much they hallucinate, the models themselves become much, much better, but the hallucination rate either doesn't change as much, or in some cases, it grows with the newer models. So we believe that unless there's going to be some huge breakthrough in the AI technology, and we're going to see some technology which is going to be as innovative to Transformers as Transformers were to what came before it, hallucinations are here to stay. AI will always be under risk, not always, but while it's using the current technology, will be under risk to hallucinate. And again, this is something that needs to be accepted. And how you would use AI needs to take that into account, that AI would occasionally hallucinate. It would look very convincing when it does. And you as a human, or if it goes to a different agent, for example, immediately, someone or something will need to be there in place to prevent those hallucinations from causing any damage.
So as someone who is building a trust, transparency in the AI space, is there something very unexpected that you've learned about building trust in AI systems?
So one thing that we've learned is that, like, every time I read an article about AI, it always shows AI as some kind of a game changer, of a miracle that changes everything and nothing is going to be the same. And while we started Verax because we believe in the potential of AI, we found that a lot of the things that were true before the age of modern AI are still true. A lot of how you build trust stays exactly the same. Yes, the product is different, but the state of mind, how people perceive trust, what they need to trust something or someone is still exactly the same. It's exactly the same thing as we did in our previous companies, as we're seeing our colleagues doing in other successful companies. So it's, you know, AI is different, but a lot of things are exactly the same.
Yeah, Verax AI is helping entrepreneurs adopt AI safely. But what does mean safety in this context for you?
So actually, safety is not a constant concept. What we found that in today's world, enterprises with how they use AI today, their main concern is about their sensitive data leaking into third-party AI tools. And it's a very specific concern. It's a very big concern. But it is one of the big blockers for these companies to start and continue adopting AI. We are seeing companies that moved a bit further on that journey to expand. There are some risks to their customers. If their customers are interacting with the company using AI, for example, AI-based customer support tools, etc. But for most enterprise companies on the current stage of the journey, we're seeing that the first and foremost definition of AI risks is data leakage, because this AI really accelerates data leakage, and traditional data leakage tools are simply not equipped to detect and prevent that. And so this is what we're seeing as the biggest pain for enterprises today.
Have you ever thought about the long-term social consequences of the tools that you are building today?
And so we see ourselves as enablers of AI use. And we see that companies work with Verax because they develop this trust, this understanding that even if something goes wrong with one or more of their AI tools, and something will go wrong, I think, again, it's fundamentally true, they have the trust that Verax AI products will be there for them and will prevent these problems from causing any damage. And what this causes them is to accelerate AI adoption, because this is no longer a blocker. And I think that accelerating AI adoption, and in general, adopting AI, is going to be very impactful on almost everything in our society. So the faster they move, the closer this future is going to be for us. And this is what we're seeing. We are bringing these huge social benefits of AI closer to us while guarding from the risks, which are also substantial, that this quick adoption.
So as a leader, a founder, entrepreneur, and all this journey, first of all, well, basically, your main career is entrepreneurial. Like, it's all under entrepreneurship, building companies. So how has your leadership style evolved from the beginning and to now? Like, obviously, it's been a kind of a tough journey, but at the same time, very rewarding, right?
So I think that for me, as I think already mentioned, leadership is mostly around interaction with people. It can be, if taken internally, it can be people within the company, they can externally, it can be stakeholders outside the company. And I think this is what I think about when I try to be a better leader. Yes, as a leader, you have to be a manager, you have to be a visionary, you have to be a lot of different things. But I think all of this will not work if you're not interacting with people well. And I think that interaction with people is what evolved with me the most. During my career, I had the privilege of seeing how many people I respect interact with all sorts of different people. I've had the privilege of learning from them. And when I joined Amazon Web Services, I also had a glimpse into how this huge company, manages to deal with the crazy number of employees that it has at a scale. And this really taught me a lot of things that nothing before that managed to teach me, because I've never seen scale like that. And I think this is what I mostly learned, how to interact with people better, no matter what the scale is.
Yeah, I believe that's so important in the relationship with your team, because, well, at the end of the day, your team and you, but with your team, you cannot do it by yourself. So how do you foster a culture of integrity and trust within your team?
I think that just like with, you know, family and friends, it's very easy to break trust if for the first time you tell something which maybe is not true, or maybe sounds suspicious, or maybe is not communicated well, and trust breaks very quickly. And so to maintain trust, I think it's super, super important to make sure that you are truthful and transparent all the time with the team, all the time, that they never feel any deceit in you. And also that your actions and your words are aligned. And once this happens, and once they feel that you are telling the truth, and you're also acting on your beliefs and what you're telling, and as long as you never deviate from that, and this is when I think trust is born. It's very slow to be born. You need to build it slowly. But say if you do it consistently for long enough, I think that this is how trust is created.
As a leader, and all the things that you've learned in your journey of building companies, do you have any mentor as well? Like, or do you have still a mentor that really guides you in the tough and challenging moments? Yeah, and make you push through all the things and all the noise that as well there's out there about AI and the rest of the things that are crazy things going on.
So I am lucky to have a group of people whom I met at one point or another during my journey. And, you know, for example, all of my previous co-founders, for example, people who used to work for customers of my companies, but who became friends, employees, investors, etc. And some of them with time became friends and became guides for me. So I don't have one person who I'm going to continue to be a mentor. I have multiple people, and I think everyone has their strengths. And I would, in some situations, I would come to one of them, in others to a different one. But these people from the past are the ones that I usually come to for an advice if I feel that, you know, something is above my league at work and I need someone's opinion that I trust.
I really like your answer. I think it's very wise. Like, it's not always about one person, one thing, but sometimes it's just like everybody brings something different and something valuable on the table, right? So talking a little bit, we are already kind of almost about to end the interview, but we'd like to talk a little bit about future and legacy. So what kind of legacy do you hope to leave in the AI space, not just in the tech part, but as well as a human?
I am... I would like to see people really trust AI in earnest. I think that today there's a lot of discussion about even this interview to an extent about the complexities of AI and trust. And there are a lot of complexities. And I see it my vision to make this world simple, to create a world where AI is very easily trusted. There's maybe there has been a lot of work spent on that trust over the years, But for someone who wants to use AI, wants to get AI's advantages, I would like to ensure that trust would no longer be an issue. It will be default, it will be built in, and no one would speak about that as a potential concern.
Great. So yeah, we talk a lot about trust though.
Oh yeah.
You're right. AI and trust, that's the thing. So Leo, now I would like to ask you about a little bit of small advice for a young founder, for example. If they ask you what matters most when building an AI product that people can trust, again, talking about trust, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to ignore 100% of the advice they're reading online and just to follow their experience and their skills. And I think this is the number one best practice for AI. There's a lot of noise around AI, a lot of suggestions, a lot of advice. Most of it, I personally cannot support. And I still think that a lot of the best practices that I can connect with are the same best practices that used to be true 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and 15 years ago. And not follow the trends, but follow what they know even from non-AI world.
I think that's a great advice. I got to the conclusion that most of CEOs say the same thing about it. Just cut the noise. And I agree. Like, there's so much noise that people just don't know what to do. Every day there's a new company. There's something new coming. Every day someone is with AI, you can just build whatever. Sometimes it's very difficult to really focus and say, okay, but what is this? You get lost.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I've got one last question, just an open question. If there's anything that you would love to share that we haven't touched, or something that we already talked about, but you would like to end the conversation reminding the game or talking about, that's up to you.
Sure. I think that if I connect some of the things that I mentioned during this interview, if I look at the most important thing when starting any company, I believe that it's whom you're starting the company with. And I really would like to emphasize for anyone who wants to start an AI company, the fact that trusting AI is secondary to trusting humans. And the most important humans in the professional world of an entrepreneur, the co-founders. And working with co-founders, one trusts, and goes a long way to trusting everything else on the journey too. And this is something that I think many entrepreneurs are not necessarily focusing on that. They're looking at the experience of their co-founders, the skill set, how well these co-founders will appear to potential investors and things like that. But I strongly suggest to prioritize trust between co-founders first, and everything else will come later.
Great. Thanks, Leo. It's been great. I actually really like your last final advice that you're trusting your co-founders and choosing your co-founders are the most, basically one of the most important things that you do when you build a company. Yeah, I actually 100% agree with that as well. So I want to thank you for making time for this podcast, and it's been a pleasure to have you. So thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Humans in AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.